Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Good morning. Sorry, I had to change the conference number.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Did you get the email?
No. No, I didn't see it yet.
Oh, you did it. Oh, okay. So, okay, Venkat has joined. So
getting my PC ready to go here.
Okay, so let me give you the ID number as well.
Alright. Okay.
It is 501.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just bring up Notepad here. Okay, 501.
501-731-01.
Okay. What was the URL again to get to the iMeeting?
Let's see. It is. You know, it's
okay,
a really
I got
long.
It.
Okay. Conference.org. It's in my email. Are you able to get in?
It's logging in.
Okay.
Please wait while Oracle Web Conference Console loads.
Oh, yeah. Are you using Netscape or Internet Explorer?
I'm using IE.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Although it seems to be taking its time, but then again, maybe because in the morning. 8 o'clock in the morning might be a popular time.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a while.
Yeah, I was up kind of late last night.
Were you?
Yeah, I was like trying to do a couple of different things.
Oh. Yeah, I was too. I can never sleep very long, though, so. I only sleep for like 5 hours a night.
Really?
That's plenty.
Wow.
I don't know. Hello?
Somebody joined.
Who just joined? Anyway. Are you up yet, or?
Let's see. Kind of sitting there. Okay. Now it seems like it's starting to pick up now.
Okay.
Funny, it's never taken that long before.
Oh, there you go.
You should see me now. Yeah.
Yep, I see you. Okay, so let me grant you access. Okay, so request your control. Okay, so let me grant you access. Hey, can you see my desktop? It should be a picture of my daughter.
Actually, no. I don't see it.
No?
Uh-uh. Oh, there we go. Now it came through.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, so I'm going to give you access.
Okay.
Okay, so I think you should be able to see, to share your desktop.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and share mine.
Okay.
Take my time
here.
Okay,
there you go.
Can the Okay, so you can see my Oracle slide?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn off my share. Wait, I don't see yours now.
Yeah, I got basically like the iMeeting screen, but now I see your desktop again.
Okay, so I think you have to press it again. Sorry.
Okay, let's see here. All right.
Hi, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning. Oh. Thanks. So, can you see my desktop?
Yes, we can see your desktop.
Okay. So.
Okay, perfect.
You can see the next
slide. I think we're still waiting for a few more people.
Let me just. Is that maximized now?
Yeah, it looks good.
That's okay. Okay, I'll just.
Check
one more thing real quick.
Paul Dorsey just emailed and said he can't get through.
Is he trying with the old conference
ID?
No,
because he got my email with the new web conference ID, and he said it's not valid. So let's see here.
You can see what I'm doing so far, right?
Yeah, Ajax only directory search.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
This is Lillian. I just received your email about logging to the web conference.
I assumed that this was the number that I was supposed to type in the call-in, not the number for going to the conference. So.
Oh, okay. So you're set. You're okay.
Well, I don't know. We're trying now.
Okay. Okay, so we have Andrew, Chris, Paul. Who else is on the call? I think Venkat had joined, but I don't know if he's able to dial in.
We can always use the chat.
Yeah, he had said that in the past he wasn't able to call in for some reason. So because he has a VoIP, so I'm not sure. Okay.
Ooh, I see slides. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about that.
Oh, okay.
Well, Ajax, JSF, and Oracle. Okay, we'll just wait maybe just two more minutes. Lana Key hasn't joined, and Peter will not be joining us today. He is actually teaching a class. So. Okay, so Venkat had just emailed and said he can't join the voice call. So, but he's on watching the presentation. Okay.
You can use the little chat facility within the iMeeting if you want to send a message to him or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Which, let's see, I think you're still shared.
I am.
Yeah, so.
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, I opened the chat. Okay.
So there's Hassan Muhammad, I guess?
Yes.
As well?
Hassan.
Okay.
Hi, Hassan. Not sure if he's on voice.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad is being shown as being on?
Yes.
I think that's probably me.
Oh, is that you, Paul?
Yeah, but I didn't type in Hassan Muhammad. Maybe it remembers, well, I mean, he works with me.
Oh, okay, because we weren't familiar with who that was, so.
Yeah.
I typed in my name. I don't know why it thinks I'm him.
Wow. That's weird.
Well, you'll be Hassan today for the next hour.
My alter ego. Well, I saw Superman, so I'm into that now.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
I guess he's the administrator who set up my machine. Carolee is informing me why you think I'm Hassan Muhammad, even though I typed my name when I registered in.
That's weird. I've never seen that before, but.
Yeah, well, how clever. Who cares? So, tell us about Ajax.
Yeah, let's.
Should we get going?
I think so. Let's go ahead and get started.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul, have you met Chris before in the past?
Chris Shaw?
Yes.
Yeah, I think a couple of us. Yeah.
You have? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure you guys are familiar with who Chris is. Okay, so Chris, let's just get started.
Okay, great. Sorry for the little delays here, but I'll just kind of jump right into it. And feel free to interrupt if you have any questions. Obviously, it's a very small group. So I'm just going to basically be talking about actually, let me jump forward real quick here. Be talking about Ajax and Java Server Faces and how kind of the two can work together, and then kind of what is Oracle's story with those technologies. And so I have, you know, a couple of slides here, and I also have some demos just to kind of step into the technology a little bit. And like I said, feel free to ask any questions. So just to kind of step back to who I am, I work in product management, and I work essentially on features for web development. So, and I've been doing that for a while. So essentially over the last few years, you know, the servlet, JSP, struts, and now Java Server Faces, all that kind of support I've been working on. Then my other job is now going out and kind of evangelizing these technologies as well. Okay, so as far as like the topics, like I said, we'll just jump right into Ajax. And quick question: for example, Paul, have you played with Ajax, or have you read up on it at all, or?
Yeah, we've played with it. We've certainly looked at Faces stuff. Actually, the direction we're going now for really high-end UI is we're now investigating Macromedia Flash for doing drawing. But certainly. High quality UI is something that we're, looking at the various technologies to support.
Okay, cool. Alrighty, so let's just jump right into it. Here's a quick agenda. I'll kind of talk about the, what exactly is Ajax, and then a little bit about the plumbing, and then I'll switch over into Ajax and JSF, and likewise kind of get into the broader area of just rich client, and then kind of discuss about what Oracle's doing in this space. So first of all, what is Ajax? It's been around for a while, to be honest. It's also referred to as remote scripting. Specifically, the acronym actually, is asynchronous JavaScript and XML. But now later, it's kind of synonymous with essentially any kind of rich internet architecture or Web 2.0 type of architectures, where the end user has a much richer experience, and so it's a little bit the end user, feels like they're using kind of like a desktop type of an application as opposed to kind of your traditional web application where you always go through the process of submitting the entire page and have the entire page refresh, things like that. So that's kind of, what I see, Ajax is being referred to in addition to the more specific plumbing aspects of like asynchronous JavaScript requests using an object called XML HTTP request. So what is XML HTTP request? Well, basically it's an object that is supported by, the major browser families where essentially, IE and Mozilla, they provide an object by which you can interact with via JavaScript to, essentially make transactions between the browser client and the server, and you can also do it in either synchronous mode or asynchronous, meaning like if it's synchronous mode, everything shuts down and while you make your communication. And that's not really, you know, AJAX. I think the magic is obviously if you can kind of let these things, you know, operate on their own and maybe pull down some data behind the scenes, or maybe by clicking, you know, a button, or, you know, just typing in something, you can actually do some web, you know, interactions without even having to bother the user with, you know, submitting the page or things like that. You know, like Gmail and all those kind of things, pretty, you know, pretty nice little features. Is it new? No, it's been around for a while. The AJAX, you know, the hype part is relatively new. It's just kind of like in a realization that, you know, wow, you can actually make much better web applications than what we've been accustomed to for the last, you know, couple of years, or, you know, since the mid-90s, basically. But, yeah, the actual support of XML HTTP request and similar like techniques, such as like iframes and things like that within browsers, that's actually been around for a while. But I think one of the big things that kind of made AJAX really kind of burst out onto the scene was Google Maps, to be honest, and things like Gmail, things like that. So Google kind of led the area and just kind of brought forth kind of like a new renaissance and much richer end-user type of experience. Is it a standard? Well, actually, no. It's essentially the major browser providers have fortunately kind of glommed on the, you know, support, which is very similar between their respective XML HTTP request objects. So, but it's not like a standards body that, like, for example, if you're coming from the Java world where you have the JCP and you have the, you know, all the different people getting together and deciding specific, you know, actual API type things. It's, you know, obviously that's not the case. I have a slide at the very end. There actually is a move within different vendors to try to put together, well, at least a certain middle ground, or, well, it's called actually the Open AJAX Alliance, where like different companies, all the major players are out there, IBM, Oracle, and SAP, and Sun, and Google, and Adobe, and yada, yada. They're all involved now in discussing essentially interactive or integration points within AJAX, but it's still very new. And I actually have been going to those meetings. Actually, they're just phone conferences. So I've been actually been going to those phone conferences on behalf of Oracle and interacting with like the other folks and just trying to see where we're at with regards to setting up some kind of like a area where, you know, what we think AJAX is and where we can, you know, intersect with what the other companies are. But it's still very preliminary, to be honest. Oh, okay. So, Lillian, did you want to pause for a second?
I'm sorry?
Lillian, did you want to pause for a second? I think we have someone else just joined us. Or
yes, Venkat?
Yeah, Lillian, this is Venkat.
Okay. Oh, great. So you were able to get through voice.
Yeah, I'm calling from my cell phone.
Oh, okay. Okay, we have Chris Schock here. I think you were following the PowerPoint.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah, let's continue on.
Okay, great. I didn't know if you wanted to talk. Okay, so just kind of moving right along, as I introduced the AJAX concepts, and here I just put together a little bit of code just so you can kind of get a feel for what is at the essence of the actual XML HTTP request. And what you're looking at is JavaScript code, and essentially a little bit of code up top there, which checks, you know, what browser family this code resides in. And then essentially at that point, once you get your new object, which in this case I've called it REQ, or request, you can start creating requests. And so here, like a open method, which has essentially three arguments. Like one is like the get, you know, meaning that you want to do a HTTP get. And then the second argument is the URL. What's the actual, you know, obviously I would like assign a URL like a, you know, http://, you know, yada, 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 some AJAX server object. And then true, that just means that I want it to be an asynchronous request. So that's kind of like the, if you're actually kind of getting into the actual plumbing of initiating an AJAX call. Now the other thing is once you make your AJAX call, you need to process the response. So the way it works is that, you know, this little bit of JavaScript can go and make a call to a server. The server can respond, you know, and the server can actually be any kind of, like, server technology, like a servlet, or it could be a PHP, or literally anything that can respond to an HTTP GET. And then its response can be in any kind of markup, literally. It could be XML, or it can even be HTML, or there's even another type of response called JSON, or JavaScript Object Notation. I can discuss that a little bit as well. But basically, so you have a server. It's able to listen to these asynchronous AJAX requests, and they can then respond in kind and send back some markup. So this could be like a little bit of data coming back in XML. And what you do here inside of the JavaScript is you have essentially a little bit of code where you can say, okay, if you have some data that's come in, this little on-ready state change is what you can assign, say, like a processing function. So as you can see here, process XML response is actually a name of a function that is going to be invoked once the bit of data that comes back from the server. And that's really all that's how you do it. And then as you can see here, I have a little bit of, I've commented out, but basically you would write code within the body of this process XML response function to essentially process the data and maybe update the UI with the new data using, say, like DOM methods. So that's one way that you can go and affect the UI within the browser. Okay. So what I have also is, I actually wrote an article in the Java Pro magazine that kind of introduces these, you know, very kind of basic concepts with an AJAX transaction. And I provided like a simple example, which is like a directory search. And so the idea being that you can have like a simple text input field where you can type in a few characters. And what that does is that pulls down, that actually initiates an AJAX request to a server. And it sends the actual characters that you've typed into the input field. And then the server responds back with a stream, in this case, of XML. And then I have some JavaScript that can then print out a table into the browser. So as you continue typing, it sends the little bits of additional text, and that actually executes a query on the server and then modifies and sends back another stream of XML by which you have your process XML response function going through and actually updating the HTML table that's getting rendered in the page. So now this is kind of like a very preliminary example that I like to show, and it kind of demonstrates the AJAX in its purest form. And what I mean by purest form is that in order for this to function, all you really need is just, say, like an HTML page with some JavaScript functions in the page. So in this case, you can see in here I have like some AJAX JavaScript functions, such as my code to instantiate an XML HTTP request object, and then I can have the code. So say, like, if I type into an input field, I can do an on key up and then initiate the AJAX request. And that goes off and communicates with a server, which could either be like a PHP or a servlet or anything that can respond to HTTP. And once on the server it gets the request, which is just a standard old GET, it can then say, oh, okay, I'm getting like a request here for some data. And then, you know, for example, in this example for directory search, it just takes the character stream, places it into a database query, and then generates out XML on the fly and sends that back to the AJAX client. So that's in its purest form a basic kind of run through of what an AJAX transaction can be. Now notice I haven't got into JSF yet, but I'll get into that in a second. So let me just go ahead and show you a working example of this, and I can kind of step into a little bit of the code so you'll understand. So first of all, I'll just go ahead and run it just so you can get a feel for what we're talking about at runtime. Okay, so here's my input field. I'll type in an S. And as you can see, I'm sorry, what?
Can we get a copy of the demo?
Yeah. Actually, it's in the Java Pro magazine. But yeah, no problem. I can make sure you can get it. So
yeah, I'll upload I'm sorry, I'll upload it onto the discussion forum, the private discussion forum, and I'll also send it out to you guys.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. So just so as you can see, I'm just typing in characters and it's responding basically on every key up event that's occurring. And then of course you can obviously see the table below is being updated. So how does it work? Well, as I mentioned, this is a real simple, pure example. Well, it's not entirely simple. The DOM methods to modify let me just maximize that real quick. So here we are in the HTML body of the page here, and I just have a plain old HTML input field, and then I have on key up, look up, and search field. And so what this means is that I'm passing essentially the ID of the input field to a little function called lookup. And if I go up here, this is JavaScript now, my lookup essentially gets some information. It gets what characters I've typed into the field, and it will initiate a AJAX request, which you can see right here on my XML open, then get, and then URL true. So what's the URL? Well, I have AJAX directory service input equals. And all that's actually going to a local address that's running a servlet, which is then essentially going to take the request here. And let me just show you really quickly the servlet code. So here's my servlet. So here's my AJAX directory service extends HTTP servlet. And inside the doGet method, I have the code here that will take the parameter called input and then initiate a basic query on the database. And then it will construct an XML stream and send it back in the response. And so I'm just using the Oracle XML facility here to go through and create an XML stream and send it back to the AJAX client. So here we are. I have my process XML response where it'll double check to see, you know, exactly what the state of the response is, because there's several, you know, error codes and things like that. But if providing everything came back successfully, it calls this render table function. And the render table function literally steps through and creates an HTML table via DOM methods using the XML stream that was responded, that got returned back. And that's what this XML doc is. So, and that's basically it. Some of the things that you can take away from this is, well, okay, that's the basic infrastructure of a straightforward AJAX transaction. Notice I'm just using pure, like, raw JavaScript inside of an HTML page. If you really boil it down to it, you don't necessarily need a lot of technologies. But as you can see, in order to build this, you have to essentially jump into a fair amount of JavaScript code just to do this one real simple example. So that's kind of what the point that I kind of hope you kind of take away is that if you really get into more complex JavaScript transactions and things like that, that's where the level of difficulty on the JavaScript can actually go up a little bit. So as I'll get to a little bit later in the presentation, that's where I think JSF provides kind of like a nice solution. Actually, it provides like a really excellent solution, to be honest, because, you know, it can shield the end developer from having to muck around with a lot of the low-level plumbing that is needed within JavaScript. So let me jump back into the presentation and start discussing a little bit more on AJAX and JSF. So how do you go about, you know, mixing AJAX technology with JSF? Well, basically, you can encapsulate the JavaScript required to initiate the AJAX requests into your JSF components. And so, basically, you know, if you were to create your own custom JSF components, you could literally create them to, say, render that JavaScript and render the input field and do all that stuff at runtime. So really what is only required of the web developer is just to use, say, like an AJAX directory component, AJAX directory search component, where they just literally just drop it onto the page. And so that's kind of what I see as like the real cool thing about Java Surfaces and how that it can actually lower the bar and make Ajax and Web 2.0 and development a lot easier than having to get into a lot of fairly complex transactional type of JavaScript code here. So just a real quick review on like custom component development. What I'm saying is I'm not necessarily saying that, oh, in order to do Ajax and JSF, you have to write your own components, because that's not really my point. But just to kind of get a grounded feel for what are the technologies that make up JSF components, I've kind of listed the core things here. Like, so if you're actually going about and implementing and creating your own Java Server Faces components, you would essentially be working with like a set of different subcomponents, such as like the UI component class, which has the behavior of the component, renderer class, which displays the component to the client. And then if you want to use it in JSP, you have to create a UI component tag, which is essentially just a tag handler. It provides a conduit from JSP to the actual UI component behavior. And then, of course, a TLD in order to, you know, to work with your tag handler. So this really is just kind of the core basics of what you do with JSF custom component development. Now, the reason I mention this is just so that way you can have a better feel for understanding how Ajax can integrate with Java Server Faces. So before moving on to Ajax, let me just kind of show you graphically what I just mentioned before earlier. So a typical Java Server Faces UI component, say like JCR colon my widget, you know, so this is like the end user sees just a widget, they plop it onto the page. But behind the scenes, they can have like a couple different classes, and they can be associated with, you know, other sub-elements called like validators and converters and things like that. And that gets into the more of the internal plumbing of JSF. But in the nutshell, JSF is architected to be very flexible, but it's also architected to be easy for the end user as well. So on the left, you can see all they have to do is just, if they can use a tag, then they're okay. They just plop the tag onto the page, and they can utilize it. So now, what are we talking about with JSF? Well, with JSF, as I mentioned before, you can actually integrate JavaScript inside of a component. So for example, I could create an Ajax JSF component that renders that JavaScript that you saw on the HTML page. So that way the end user doesn't have to write, you know, process XML response, or doesn't have to write, you know, the code to initiate the request and things like that. Plus, they don't even have to write the input field. All they do is just have a component called search directory or Ajax search directory, drop it onto the page, and it will just magically work. And in this case, as you can see on the right, the overall architecture of JSF, you know, provides, for example, you have your Faces servlet, you have your overall runtime, and then you have your component there, which could have the embedded script. And now for the Ajax server object, it could also remain as, say, a servlet, which responds to these requests, or you could actually integrate the Ajax server object inside of the JSF application as well. And I have, I think, some information on how that is done. So keep in mind, the reason why I'm explaining this is just to give you a little bit of foundation to understand later on when I show Oracle's strategy. It basically follows this exact architecture of what I'm showing here. But I can also show you how it works as well. I have a little animation here. It says, so these are just basically the two options for doing your Ajax server object. One is could be a servlet, or it could be a server object inside of the actual JSF application. And there's reasons, pro and con, why you might want to do one or the other. Any questions so far? Am I losing anyone? guess not. All right, so as I mentioned before, the architecture for integrating Ajax and JSF can follow essentially basically you can follow an approach where you can integrate JavaScript rendering inside of the component itself. So as you can see here, you can render static JavaScript using custom rendering code. And then, of course, you can have either a servlet or an internal JSF object such as a phase listener or actual like a decode method as part of your overall renderer code. Now, phase listeners and decode methods within renderer code, that's obviously getting into a little bit more of the actual plumbing of JSF components, but you know, I can describe that in more detail. But from the high point of view, it just basically means that you know you can, instead of having to write an independent servlet, you can actually integrate it into the actual workings within the component itself or within the JSF application itself. All right, so let me just show you kind of as a contrast that same Ajax directory search, but this time I'm going to show you it within the context of a custom component. So let me just pull up this project here. And first of all, I'll pop open the page. So what the end user works with is just a tag right here. So as you can see, Ajax JSF and the directory search, and then I had like one or two like attributes that I tossed into the component itself. But that's basically it. You'll notice that there's no extra JavaScript going on here that I have to muck with. It's just basically the component itself. All right, and when I use it, oh, let me just go ahead and show you. Inside of this project, I also have like different approaches. If I wanted to use my servlet to be my Ajax directory servlet service, it's okay. I can still integrate that as well. But I actually have code for different types of other approaches for my Ajax server object. So let me just fire up this this example here, just so you can kind of see it in action, and that's about it. So my main point is that with Ajax and JSF, you basically can have the same kind of functionality, but it can be simplified for the user. And that's pretty much what my main point is for showing you this. Okay. Let's go ahead and return back. So, just to kind of give you a feel for, so what I showed you right now was like a real traditional Ajax type of a transaction where you were actually fetching some data and then. Oh, I'm sorry. Question?
Yeah. Going back to the demo, I mean, what I'm seeing is the interesting question here is how to go about writing those tags. If you put together, like, say, you know, sort of white papers on the architecture of how to build these tags and go through and make this stuff.
Yeah, actually, it's in my book.
Cool.
It's due out this summer. But basically, the book goes through and explains this architecture, and these exact demos are in the book, basically.
You want a tech editor?
What's that?
You want a tech editor?
Oh, well, actually, yeah, we've already wrapped it up. It's basically just needs to be printed. But thanks for the offer, though. yeah, maybe next time.
Can
but
I get a copy?
What's that?
Can we get the text now to start looking at?
Yeah, I could probably send you a page proof of the Ajax chapter.
Cool.
And,
what's the whole book called?
I'm sorry, what? Oh, it's called Java Server Faces, The Complete Reference by McGraw-Hill and Osborne.
Oh, okay. Is it in the Oracle Press series or just generic?
It's generic, and I actually I co-authored it with Ed Burns, who's the co-spec lead for Java Server Faces.
Cool.
And so yeah, it was it was a big project, but I'm happy that it's basically over now. So we're just kind of signing off on the final page proofs, and so yeah. But
I know it's exactly what you think.
Oh yeah, it was a big undertaking, but it's now wrapped up here, and so we're very relieved that it's over. So anyway, like I said, yeah, we can definitely help you out with that. And then also there's the Java Pro article that goes into it, and I actually borrowed a lot of the similar topics, and I show like the same code with the Ajax directory search, the pure version as well as the component version, probably you can get you a back copy of Java Pro if you don't have it. It came out like in April, I think. But anyway, So, getting back into the presentation, what I was going to move on to was just kind of show like another rich client example, which doesn't necessarily use an XML HTTP request to fetch data, but it's just kind of like more of the same strategy for integrating JavaScript and JSF. So in this case, what I have is a slider component. So, you know, basically you can drop this slider component onto your page, and it behaves just like a slider that you would use in a much richer technology. And but you don't have to get into the complex coding of how you can, you know, respond to, you know, incremental mouse movements to the left or the right or whatever. The web developer just uses a slider component. So I jumped ahead on my slide here. How does it work? Well, the slider is essentially, I've broken it down in this case to two components. One is the actual slider component, and then one is a little bit of slider script that you can toss into the page. And there's actually different strategies for how you can make that an even more seamless experience, where all you need is just one component, where you don't even need to drop in a little script component which spits out the bit of JavaScript header code. So, for example, actually the next slide kind of it breaks it down a little bit more. This is what renders out of the component, just so you can get a feel for, you know, the top one just spits out a little JavaScript reference here where it pulls down this little bit of JavaScript code. And then here, per every instance of the user, of the UI component for the slider, it spits out a little div and has a little bit of script inside of it. And so as you can see, the JavaScript code is a little bit kind of complex, and so it's nice that it's all kind of encapsulated within the component itself. So, and like I said, this particular example is just kind of like a purely rich client example where we have advanced JavaScript integrated inside of a JSF component, but it's not necessarily you doing an AJAX request in this case. So let me just show you the component just so you can kind of get a feel for it. Let's see, where did I put it? Ah, here we go. Just slider. So just to show you the JSP code real quickly, the slider is right here. And, you know, I set some attributes. I program these attributes inside of the component, like horizontal equals true and maximum value length and that kind of stuff. So the end user, that's all they really have to be familiar with. And then here I toss in a little slider script, which just dumps in the reference to the static slider libraries. Now, just so you know, I didn't actually write the core JavaScript code to implement the slider. I actually got that kind of as a gift from our development folks on ADF Faces, who actually, the folks who did a lot of these JavaScript work came actually from PeopleSoft. So because they had a lot of the...
Yeah, I was going to ask if you could go into more depth on the architecture behind the slider script tag. I mean, we know how to write tags. We know how to invoke tags. That's easy enough.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I can show you. That's where it gets a little bit hairy, to be honest. And
yeah, well, I know.
And I didn't even get into all the low-level plumbing of it. I literally just kind of serve it up to the browser and let the browser take care of it. But yeah, I can show you a little bit more. And then, like I said, I mean, you can even have the source code for the slider as well. So there it is using it, and I just have two instances of the slider. And what the way you use it, you just assign it to an input field for or a JSF input text field. Like you said, the for attribute of the slider to point to the ID of the input field, and that's it. It just, you know, works on its own. So that's pretty much that. Let's see. I think I just have a few more slides, but before jumping into the actual slider code, well, I can show you really quickly. It's a fair amount of code, obviously, to implement this kind of advanced behavior. And so, you know, this is what you would have inside of your HTML page if you did it in kind of like a pure fashion. But, you know, fortunately, the JSF, you know, just kind of takes care of that rendering for you, and you don't necessarily have to do this. And like I said, I didn't write this code. I just got it from our ADF Faces development, rich client development folks, and integrated it into a JSF component.
One of the things that concerns me about this model is that I mean, fundamentally what we're doing is, from the developer experience, this is really wonderful, right? You're right, you throw one lousy tag in and you get a slider. That's the good news. The bad news is that now when the client opens this page, it takes a minute and a half.
Well, there's different ways for compacting down the JavaScript and things like that, and that's true probably with a lot of I wouldn't necessarily agree. I mean, with like the actual timing of what you're saying. I mean, there's a lot of like fairly rich applications that have a fair amount of like JavaScript involved with them, and you are actually downloading more characters in order to have this richer experience.
Yeah, I'm being facetious about the minute and a half, but...
Sure. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but I would definitely contrast that with the way it used to be with applets. So, obviously you're going to have to, if you want rich client, you're going to have to send down the data that defines the rich client in some manner, and in this case, you know, having JavaScript code, even if it's compacted down, all the white space removed or whatever, it's still going to be a little bit of a transmission thing. I can say just from my own empirical, you know, usage of various rich client technologies, I haven't noticed it to be a major impact other than maybe some other. I mean, you know, the things that I notice with regards to performance in these areas tend to be more on the server or more on the actual data interaction as opposed to the actual client code that renders the UI inside of the page. But
yeah,
that's my experience so far.
Yeah, fast are the round trips looking to be? I mean, are they still sort of like when you go over in a real environment with a real page with a real bunch of rich user interface stuff? Is it like a second or two, or does it go up to like 3 or 4 seconds? I mean, what's it do compared to a light, thin, fast HTML page? I mean,
I can refer to like Google Maps or Gmail as like a prime example of what the end user experience. In that sense, like, so I don't know if you have a Gmail account, but Gmail is obviously it's communicating with the server on a constant basis, and so if you upload an attachment, it'll actually start the upload for you, and it actually, you know, maintains this kind of like in a, you know, somewhat asynchronous fashion of communicating with the server. And obviously, the first time you load the page, sure, if I were to have a flat HTML page that renders my my email client, it's going to probably pop up a little bit faster than when I pop open, say, my Gmail UI or, for that matter, Google Maps. You know, if you go with Google Maps, you might be able to detect a little bit of, okay, here comes a stream of JavaScript that's coming into the browser, and then voila, the thing kind of renders, and then you're happy. Because once the JavaScript's loaded, you know, it's pretty minimal at that point. You're just, you know, interacting with data at that point, usually. So I'm just talking from my own empirical, interactions with various rich client, web interfaces. So with Gmail or Google Maps, and then there's, of course, what we're doing on the rich client side, I can see the same thing. Yeah, you access a web application, and especially if you have like a fairly rich UI, there'll be like a momentary little bit of like a delay, but I've never really noticed it to be like anything on the order of a comparable, say, applet. You know, like back in the old days when we have very rich applets, say, for example, forms for the web, downloading that applet was a very painful process. And so in that regard, I would say they're definitely kind of two different experiences in levels of magnitude. But anyway, like I said, the more you play with the rich, you know, because you'll hit them no matter what. I mean, whether your online bank switches to a rich client format or whatever, you'll start seeing kind of like the newer experiences, and sometimes they'll get it right and they'll have it very efficient, and they won't have a lot of sloppy code, but basically they'll have a nice rich end user experience that doesn't have to download like a ton of, you know, client side code. But it's in the end, this is still fairly new, and sure, there probably could be some cases where you might notice a little bit of more delay than you would expect or want, I guess. Let me get back into my slides here. The only thing I was really going to finish up on is, I showed you the rich client. The only thing I was going to really finish up was just kind of discussing what Oracle is doing in this space. And I have like another demo that we demoed at Java 1, which shows you a set of rich client components that are actually quite cool. So what is the Oracle strategy? Well, pretty much what I said before with regards to making it easier for the end developer. So the end developer, all they should know is really how to use Java Server Faces, which is essentially understanding the different components and what are the attributes, and then being able to put those components together to construct a UI. And where are we? Well, basically we have ADF Faces, which is out there in the public. That's Oracle's Java Server Faces set of components. And then what we have that's currently in development is a new kind of branch of set of components, like a special set of components called the Rich Client Components, which basically are just providing much richer end-user functionality. So let me just go ahead and... Sorry, I had to close the door there. So where are we in development? Well, it's currently in development full steam. I mean, they're cranking out the components, and we're creating prototypes, and we're demoing these prototypes like at various conferences. So for example, Java 1, we demoed a rich client version of it, of these components. And that's pretty much where we're at. We hope to have these wrapped up by, or at least like the first pass, by November 1st. So, what are we looking at? Well, basically that's a demo that we put together for Java 1. It's like an online store. And if you give me a second, I can fire that demo up. Just to kind of give you like an advanced feel for, I had to switch to another build, so. But basically, it's a much richer experience where you can do kind of the stuff that I was showing, like with a slider or doing like some basic transactions. But obviously, it's at a much more advanced level. So once JDeveloper is up, I can just kind of step you through this quick demo here. And we're going to try to finish at 9, right, Lillian?
Yes.
Okay.
But you're doing good.
Oh, thanks. That's basically it. There's not much more to it than that. So this is an internal build, obviously, and it has the integration of the new rich client components.
Hey, Chris, this is Venkat. I have a question while the demo is loading.
Okay.
I know that Oracle is donating ADF Faces to Apache MyFaces project. So
yep.
Does it include the rich client, rich components as well?
Well, currently it has like the what you can download off of Apache does not include these yet. But I believe the plan is to also include some of these rich client components as well. But as it is right now. Basically, what you would see on the Apache website is the 10.1.3 version of the ADF Faces components. But from what I heard, I believe the plan was to also put these out there. Actually, Thomas actually told the audience as well that these will also continue to follow in the similar vein. We're donating them to open source. So here's a UI, which, as I mentioned before, is an online store for buying electronics and things like that. So this was the actual demo that Thomas Kurian did for the keynote demo, just to kind of give a feel for the new, you know, kind of UI. And so as you can see real quickly, we have these, you know, cool things like accordions that can collapse different sections of the UI, and I'm just like pulling up different areas of the application. And notice I'm not navigating between different pages. I could literally put everything into a single page. So for example, if I wanted to pop open, you know, this particular shopping area, I see a basic master detail. But I can, you know, as I click on the record, it's, you know, doing your basic PPR kind of behavior, partial page rendering, where I'm not having to refresh, you know, the entire page. It's just updating basically as I'm clicking through the different records. Likewise, if I, you know, I could do some interesting things as well, like, you know, issue a search query here, and it just pulls up like the various iPod related hits. And then also, like, the cool thing about this is that, you know, it's a rich table, so I could do things like change the order of the columns. I could you know, do the sorting and things like that. And then what's also, let's see, let me pull up a nano here. So what's really cool also is like you can get some more advanced functionality like the drag and drop capabilities. So, you know, just to kind of show you the experience. So it's obviously a richer experience. I can proceed now to checkout, you know, and so it's all within the same page. I'm not really changing anything here. But now, as you can see, just clicking on these different shipping options, I can see the UI updates itself and the shipping charges update themselves. And this is PPR, actually, in action, so partial page rendering, or also sometimes referred to as partial page refresh, where basically if any particular elements within the UI is being updated, you can associate like a listener. So you can say, oh, if this shipping thing changes, then make sure you update this particular field. And actually, that PPR feature is actually in the current production version of ADF Faces. And so even without the rich client components, you can have some pretty cool like rich client functionality with the current production level of the ADF Faces components as well. So there we go. I finished my order. I'm going to just go ahead and place it, and you know, it can then launch, say, like a whatever, a web service or a Bipple process to fulfill the order or things like that. We had some fun also where we can actually launch a Skype client if we wanted to, but this was just part of the demo. I mean, launching Skype from a browser is really no big deal. other than that, that's basically it. This kind of shows you kind of a feel for what these components can do. Let me see. There's one other thing that I can probably toss in on the fly just to kind of give you a feel for the different components. And I'm just going to bring up a... All right. Here's our Release 11. You know, there's a component guide here that I just wanted to show you very quickly. This is obviously an internal machine here, so you wouldn't be able to see it out on the internet. Okay, so the component guide here, let me fire that up. And this is just a listing of the various components. So like the accordion that I showed before, now you can see it kind of in this little, you know, demo here. And, I don't know, I could kind of go through the list here, but as you can see, there's a high number of rich components here that are pretty fancy in their capabilities and things like that. So, for example, here's...
Can you show us the tree?
Oh, sure.
Is everyone there?
Yeah.
Okay. I just heard some static.
So as you expect, it looks like a tree in Windows.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Can we look at the tree table?
What's that?
Can we look at the tree table?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'll
bring it up
right now. So it's a inline editable?
I'm sorry, what?
Does it support inline edit?
Is the table inline editable?
Yeah.
Let's see. You can program it to be. I'm not sure if this particular demo has it turned on or not, but I believe that's the case. I mean, with any data table, you can do inline editing. I don't see it right now. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can do that. You can turn on the event listener to enable it or something like that, or just have it enabled upon rendering. So anyway, I think that's about it. As you can see, there's a lot of widgets that are coming out, kind of like the next generation of cool, you know, rich client types of things. And as I mentioned before, Oracle's involved this Open Ajax Alliance. We've been having like biweekly conference calls and just trying to establish a middle ground between all the different vendors of what we can provide for Ajax, and then also just finding like, you know, where we can intersect with our various implementations of Ajax. And I've been kind of... I'm sorry, what?
What's the latest fantasy release date for 11?
The latest fantasy release? You know, I probably should have like double checked this before doing the presentation. I could probably get you that a better estimate if I send you an email. I know like from the development side, we have like a deadline of October 31st, and then when that rolls out, I mean obviously it's I believe it's going to be, you know, next year. Or I don't know the exact kind of time frame, but yeah, it's still going to take some time, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
but I can follow up with that to get maybe a more precise estimate with from the latest information.
So it sounds like 6 to 12 months until it's clean.
That's probably a safe assessment. Yeah, but like I said, I can probably give you a more precise measurement
and,
on that.
And I promise not to tell anybody.
Oh well, yeah, I can even let you know if it's public or whatever. But I don't.
Okay.
I don't know
it sounds like though, from a book perspective, if you guys code freeze. In the fall, then it sounds like Peter and I can start writing the 11 book, what, around Christmas time?
The 11 book? Probably,
yeah.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, okay. You could start it right now, to be honest. There's,
yeah, we're busy.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, yeah. We've been through this game where we do all the stuff and then we... do all the screenshots, and then we redo all the screenshots, and then we redo all the screenshots.
Oh yeah, I know how that is, but I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't do screenshots just yet. But yeah.
So we'll wait.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
thanks,
good.
Chris.
Thank you, Chris. That was great. Very interesting.
Cool. Glad to like
so,
it.
So yeah, Chris, you know, we'll be at Open World, and are you doing general sessions at Open World? You are, right?
Well, let's see. I have one presentation on, actually, Ajax and JSF, where I'll kind of be talking a lot of these you know, things I mentioned here today. And then, like I said, with Google, probably a joint thing with Patrick. And then, yeah, I'll be around, you know, obviously. I'll be there the whole week. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And Chris will be giving away a few free copies of his book. So definitely.
Yeah.
You know,
just print that darn thing.
Right. Well, Paul, you'll be there, and Venkat, actually, have you decided if you're attending Open World?
Yeah, I'll be there. I haven't registered yet, but I'll be there.
Okay. So we'll talk offline about your schedule and travel.
Sure.
Okay. Great. So any other questions for Chris?
Well, just not Chris, but are we going to try to do a Fusion Director meeting at Open World?
Yes, definitely. It will probably be on Tuesday, I'm guessing right now. Monday night we have the Oracle or the OTN night event. So I'm looking into Tuesday. But yes, definitely. And our next web conference I have tentatively scheduled for August 3rd. And I believe it will be on SOA. But more details to come. In the coming week. Okay? Great. Like I said, this will be uploaded onto the discussion forum, the presentation, as well as the voice conference recording. So you'll be able to replay Chris's presentation. At your
okay, just make sure we get the source code for all this, too.
Yeah.
On the session forum. Okay, cool.
Right. Okay. Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks a lot.
All right.